那个看，所以我说的不错。
Sorry, can they turn it off? It is just like shining on me for nothing. It's like...
Did you want to
see? Just turn them off.
No, you can turn them.
Yeah, but it's like... I can't even... raise my hand. Yeah. I think it's okay for them, but it's not... Okay. Yeah, but I'm trying to also use my... It's okay, I think they will eventually do it. I think you can start.
Thank you. 过来参加我们这个恋爱之空间的活动，这个是一个系列四次的艺术古典音乐的工作坊。昨天我们在林克图书馆举办了第一次，是跟昆曲的一个探讨和交流。然后今天呢，我们是在 CSA， 在 CSA 的一个很重要的原因呢是利亚兹这个作品，就是这个大家看到利亚这个硬币。他的这个有个作品由蔡志新和张亮教授所创作，在我们上海商务展一楼的展厅，大家如果有时间的话可以去看一下这个一组的录像装置，也是跟音乐和研习有关系的。当然它是在一个印度古典音乐在今天的一个脉络下面。然后今天我们这个活动呢是这四次活动当中的第二场，明天我们在上海音乐学院还有一场，后天在苏州的园林里还有一场，如果大家有兴趣的话可以继续追踪，每一次都有点不一样。Thank you for coming for this phase of PR series program. This is the second of the fourth session. Yesterday we had an exchange between Indian, North Indian classical music singers and country opera singer and performer in a downtown. Today we move to Power Station of Art, partly because there's an installation video showing presented in Shanghai Biennale on the ground floor of this exhibition that's going on now. So if you have time, you can go and check it out, which is also on it's also on the same issue that we are discussing throughout this four sessions. Today we're very glad to welcome Mr. Tedros William Niranjana from the Nanyang University in Hong Kong, Cultural Studies Department. She is both the curator of the whole four sessions of this program, and as well as the artist of this VS work on ground floor. So 我们今天非常荣幸邀请到特别是音乐家娜老师来给我们做主持。同时还有三位印度的古典音乐的艺术家，到时候会请那个蔡主来介绍。我们也很高兴邀请到了中国的那个吉他演奏家张力先生来跟他们有一个专门的一个合作的演出。So I will now leave you to introduce the rest of the artists. 好，然后我要介绍一下我们的翻译 ，our interpreter today 是上音的博士生是吧？对，刘尚坤。好，谢谢。
你好 ，Hello everyone, and very happy to be here.I think it's on now. I have to say ni hao again. Okay. The reason to have this event inside this beautiful theater of the Power Station of Art, the main reason is that, of course, the filmmaker collaborator Surabhi Sharma and I have a video installation downstairs, which is about the concept of Riyaz. I know that in the Chinese poster, Riyaz is not translated.It's difficult to translate. Riyaz comes from the Persian and is a word that's used in Indian classical music, in North Indian classical music, to indicate practice, which might extend into maybe like the learning experience, which talks about self-reflection as one is practicing. And I think we explore some of these ideas in the installation downstairs.I'm very happy to say that two of the artists here are also there in the video installation as pieces of art. and not as performers. So please do go and see them. Actually saw someone there who said, who is this and where is this? And I told them, come upstairs and listen to the same people perform. So I hope that the person is there. It's difficult to introduce people that one has known very well over some time. So I think we begin with Pandita Lalit Rao. Lalit Rao is from is one of the most eminent musicians in North Indian classical music in India. She is from the Agra Gharana. I will say a little bit more about the different styles of music as we continue with the program. She learned music in Bombay City, she learned in different places, but predominantly from the great teacher and singer Khazim Hussain Khan in the 1970s and 80s in Bombay City. And when she speaks about her own learning experience, she will say a little bit about what that interaction was like. We have to her right Omkar Hawaldar. One of the rising young stars of the Kirana Gharana, the different style, and I also want to acknowledge him here as my own teacher in learning this kind of music. Sorry, can you hear me? Okay, someone's reading. To the left of Pandita Lalit Rao is Rutuja Lad. Yet another rising star, this time at the Jaipur Gharana, another style altogether. The reason to bring three singers singing in three very different styles, but all partly, you know, all involved in Hindustani classical music, is to give you a sense of the variety and diversity in what might seem to be one single kind of music, right? And what you hear today, as they will demonstrate and sing and speak, is, I think, a glimpse of this diversity. I think I'll stop here and ask you to translate to sorry. So we're beginning this program with a discussion and demonstration and sharing of stories about the Riyadh experience, or the idea of, you know, what's the learning experience of these three singers. One of the ideas we want to put across is that we are discussing what happens to Hindustani or North Indian music in the what I call the long 20th century. And I call it the long 20th century because the teacher of Lalit Rao, Khazim Hussain Khan, was born in the 19th century. many of the singers from whom we are deriving some of the ways by which we sing today were born in the 19th century. Their work carried forward through their students into the 20th century. Rupajala's original teacher, from which I could call him, featured in the installation now says, was 87 when she passed away. And Rupuja is now a 21st century musician who is singing that kind of music, right? So we are taking the 20th century and stretching it. So we have something on this side and we have something on the other. We are actually not only looking at three generations of musicians, we are probably also looking at three centuries of how this music is being taken forward. Similarly with Omkar Havadar, the originator of his kind of music is from the 19th century and is taken forward into the 21st as well by him and many other singers like him. So welcome to the long 20th century of Riyaz, of Hindustani music. I will now request Lalit Rao Ji to speak a little bit about her experience of learning music.
今天我想向大家介绍的就是这个印度音乐利亚子漫长的20世纪。为什么我们说漫长的20世纪？因为刚才介绍这三位音乐家的学习经历，他们的老师很多都是出生在19世纪的，而我们表演的音乐很多也都是从那个时代开始被记录下来。所以现在我们是21世纪，那中间的这个漫长的20世纪。 通过这一代一代的传承，这个传奇看起来像是被拉伸了，所以我们认为它是很长的。现在我们先请第一位演讲来说一下。
I'm Lalit Rao. It's a great honor and a great pleasure to be performing and talking a little bit about the musical tradition that all three of us follow. And I would like to thank Dr. Tejaswini Niranjana and the local hosts who have given us this wonderful opportunity of coming here and interacting with all of you.
我很荣幸在这里跟大家介绍我们所遵循的印度斯坦传统，也很感谢大家能到这来参与我们的活动。
I come from Hindustani classical music was mainly taught orally from the teacher to the student. The teacher sings and the student follows.
印度斯坦的经典古典音乐主要是通过口头来传承的，老师唱一句，学生来唱一句。
There was no notation earlier. It was not written down. So what that meant was you needed many, many years of concentrated learning to be able to imbibe it. Because there was no specific voice exercises which came separately. There was no notation. There was no grammar explained as musicology. It was all a comprehensive learning process where the teacher taught and you imbibed by listening.
所以这样的传奇方式需要很多年的集中注意力的练习，因为我们没有记谱，我们没有所谓的声乐练习，我们也没有音乐学理论，所以所有这些只能通过你在模仿老师的过程中被邀请到这个音乐传统之中来。
Musicians, when they first were under the patronage of the king, of the emperor, in northern India and the little kingdoms that existed in northern India, they had a lot of privileges in the sense the court looked after them. Afterwards, when the kings changed, they had to go from the main court and settle in various towns. Now, when they settled in these towns, three generations were considered to be one gharana or house of music. And what happened was, in those days, maybe the same thing in China, transport was bad. You could not, there was no phone, no telephone, no electricity, nothing like that. So when you taught, you mainly taught your family and your family members. So it usually was from father to son, father to nephew, father to... So it became a traditional family affair. So that is why ghar, gharana, ghar means house. So gharana came originally saying from a house. But then when they moved and they started accepting other disciples, students from outside their family, from outside other cities, then the term gharana took on a broader, a more comprehensive meaning. It means anybody who owes allegiance or who follows that gharana.
早期在音乐家时代，各种君王的宫廷里享受了很多特权。后来这些君王他们的朝代更替，就导致了这些音乐家建立的城镇。所以不同的城镇就成为了不同风格的音乐的这样一个传统的地方。由于那个时代的交通和交流都不方便，所以往往这样的音乐传统只能在家族内部，在一代一代之间来传起。 所以刚才说到关于风格这个词，卡拉纳，它是来自于卡拉，还是卡拉？卡拉是一个房子的意思，而卡拉纳就是来自于这个房子。这个房子指的一方面是这个城镇，另一方面就是一个家庭。但后来随着这些传统艺人在当代的技术中越来越多的接触到其他的风格和接触到像CD等等这些现代的传统，现在的传播方式，这个词。
In this learning experience, as far as my experience goes, when I went to my teacher, I was already my final teacher, Khadam Senkanta, I was already a performer. I was not a beginner. As you see, when it is an oral tradition and you have to learn by listening, the understanding between the teacher and the musician and the student has to be absolutely perfect, both to absorb and to teach. I would like to give you, and earlier it used to involve a lot of hours and hours and hours of practice. Because they, for them, music was their whole life. Now, the teaching in some cases has been reduced to 4, 5, 6, maybe 8, 9 hours per week. Maybe more, little more, maybe little less. But that is, so you can imagine the change in the circumstances.
在我去学习的那个时候，我已经是一个表演家。后来我也是当了老师，所以在这个教在学习和教授的过程中，我更感觉到了这种口头传承体系的完美。因为他们花了很多很多的时间，甚至投入自己的整个生命到这种音乐之中。但是现在的很多教学活动，它只持续5、6个小时、8、9个小时。那我们可以看出这种情形之下会发生了多大的变化。
I'd like to give you a small story about what happened once when I was sitting in front of my teacher and learning. He was teaching me something and I just couldn't pick it up. No matter what I did, I couldn't pick it up. So he looked at me a little sternly, which he never did. And I just started weeping. So he turned round and he said to me, I will tell you a story. When he was 7 years old, his teacher was 75 years old. And what used to happen was, they used to teach at night. So because the child will fall asleep, the hair was tied to a string and tied to the ceiling. So that when the when he felt, you know, felt sleepy and he nodded, it was pull his hair up and wake him up.
所以我现在要讲的是我在我老师的听到的这样一个故事，嗯，我的老师跟我老师的老师学习的时候，那个时候我的老师是七岁，但是他们老师已经七十五岁了，那个时候他们几乎是彻夜的在教学，所以为了防止他自己睡着，就像中国古代那个头悬梁一样，也是把头发系在那个房梁上，所以当他们睡着的时候就会被拉醒。
So he said to me, that was the way we learned. It's not that they didn't love us, they loved us a lot. But when I look at you like this, you start weeping. How will you learn? So it is a question of complete surrender and complete acceptance of whatever the teacher teaches. I would like to sing one of the first compositions that my teacher taught me.
所以这就代表了我们对老师所教的东西完全的顺从和接受。所以我现在要唱一小段我老师教给我的东西。不好意思，他讲话那个话筒分响有点大，有没有可能把它调大？因为我听得很吃力。This
is an art called Chintruti, and it is a composition of my teacher.
In my case also, my father is my first teacher. My father, Dr. Nagaraj Rao Gavaldar, is my guru. And when a student like me, or generally students like us who pursue classical music as their career and life, livelihood, when they have their fathers as their gurus, we really have hard time accepting them as fathers because we admire them as gurus. 所以在古时候，这个师生之间的这个关系是很严厉，应该这么说。这一点有的时候发生在学校里，有时候也发生在家里。比如说我自己的第一个导师就是我的父亲，那当我习惯性的把他当做导师之后，我就很难再接受他作为我的父亲。
I will talk about one of the very fine experiences that I have had with my teacher. We generally think that, you know, when father becomes the teacher, the student or the son gets to learn everything. That is not so. Some people think it is easy, but my father has made sure that I get whatever if I only deserve it. So I was my father started training me, teaching me with other students of this, and saw whether I was serious, whether I practiced regularly, and then they would teach me the next lesson.
一般人们都有一种感觉，就是如果你的父亲是你的老师，那你会学得非常好。但事实上并不是这样。我在跟我父亲学习的时候，他并不把我跟其他学生放在一起，而是直到我学好了一课，才能教我下一课。
One of the very rare advantages any student can have, which happened in my case, is that I saw my teacher being taught by his teachers.This is a very, very rare thing which happens in a life of a student, more so a life of a student of music. I saw my father's gurus, my father's teachers, teaching my father.
但是我有其他学生很罕见的一种机会，就是我可以看到我老师的老师教我的老师，就是我看到我父亲的导师去教我的父亲。这个对于其他学生是很难得的一个机会。
I was also fortunate, not all of them, but sometimes that my father's teachers would allow me to sit in my father's class to observe how they taught me.
我父亲也允许我坐在他上课的课堂上来观察我老师怎么教他。
So that was very advantageous for me, that I saw my gurus practice.Which is a very great thing, because our teachers tell us how to practice. They give us instructions how to practice. But to see your own teacher practice is a very, very rare sight in Indian classical music context.
所以我也看到了我的老师，也就是我的父亲，他自己是怎样练习的。因为在一般的传统之中，只是你的老师告诉你怎么练习，但是现在我看到他是怎样练习，那把他所教的东西放到这个语境之中也是很好的。
I think with great admiration and humility and also with obligation, I have to admit that even today my father's practice, my guru's practice starts much earlier than mine. Even today. My father is 67 years old and 31 years old. Even today his practice is first and my next.
So, in the presentation of my performance, I can hear my father's practice and the effect of my practice. I'm now 31 years old, my father is 70 years old, but I can still see the effect of it.
So the importance of practice is just not told by the teacher to the student. It is in the way the guru lives his life and the students imbibe by the guru's every walk of life.
所以这种练习不是老师教给学生的，而是老师把它留在他的生命之中，然后学生去跟随。
Now I will share a very, very interesting but a very emotional incident that happened in my father, my guru's life. Once my father met a very great physician by name Pandit Manik Rao Raichurkar. Manik Rao Raichurkar, that's the name of the physician, and I'm pretty sure it's the same in Chinese too. He sang a composition which my father liked. And my father asked him whether he could.Teach that composition to him. But that gentleman who sang this composition was not obliged to teach my father.
Is that the composition means it's in the score?
The song.
He was singing it for the radio.
He was singing it for the
recording session.
The recording.
我讲一个关于我父亲的故事。有一次我父亲见到了一个很著名的音乐家，然后从广播或者这个录音里面
听到他所唱的歌，所以他就希望这个音乐家能教他唱这个歌。
Incidentally, that day, Manikarao Rajyakar had to go to his hometown and he could not teach because he had to catch a train. So he said, I will teach you some other time when I come to Bangalore. So when Manikarao Rajyakar did come to Bangalore next time, he came home in search of my father and he taught that composition, saying that, you know, Rumnur, you had asked me that composition, I have come home to teach you. So he came home, he taught us the composition, and he had a meal with us, and he went away.
但是这位音乐家当时他要去赶飞机，所以就没有时间教他的父亲。但是过了若干年，这个音乐家又回到了班加罗，到了他们家，找他的父亲说：“你当年不是要学我这首歌吗？现在我会教你了。”然后我当时也是坐在这里的，所以我也听到了这个他是怎么学的。
I think what Omkar is trying to do is to show you the generosity of singers who may not be your teacher but are willing to give you music. Right? So although Omkar was learning from his father and this other big singer was not his teacher, because someone asked him for a composition, he was willing to come all the way to change three buses, he said, to come there to give them the composition.
所以这展现了音乐家的慷慨。比如说一个歌手或者一个父亲，他可能并不是你的老师，但是只要你想跟他学这首歌，他都愿意教给你。你想让他给你做一首曲，他就会给你做。
I will just demonstrate the same composition what Pandit Manikarao Rajyakar taught my father, my guru, and my father who taught me. It is said to Rag Gorakhanyan.
Namaste. My name is Rutuja Lal, and first of all, I would like to thank the Tejaswini ji for giving me the opportunity to be a part of this event and to be so I could meet you all and share my learning experiences. So I belong from Jaipur Gharana, that is the Jaipur tradition of Hindustani music.
首先我想感谢这个机会让我可以参与到这个活动之中来分享我的学习和表演的经历。那么我来自的是Jaipur Gharana，意思就是Jaipur的传统，印度，本印度。So
I was very very fortunate enough to be able to learn from a very great guru from Jaipur Gharana, Gana Yogini Pandita Dhondutai Kulkarni. Dhondutai Kulkarni was my guru. So I was fortunate enough to start my training right from the age of 9. And before that, my mother identified that I had that vocal talent so that I could sing. So later, at the age of 9, I started training with my guru. And then, firstly, my voice was trained. I was trained right from the scratch. Like the main aspects of our stylistic technique of our gharana is Shuddha Akar and full throated voice. Full throated voice is one of the main aspects of our style, which was trained by my guru at an early age.
It's
a part of full throated singing. So
to sing fully, not just by closing your mouth.
所以我很荣幸地跟这个Jaipur传统的一个非常著名的老师学习。在九岁的时候开始正式学他学习呢，这些音乐传统要求一种就是完全开放式的歌唱，所以我声音的这一部分也是这个老师传授给我的。Now
I would just elaborate on the process of learning how I learned from my guru. Firstly, there are initially, the disciple imitates the guru. Like whatever the guru sings, we have to imitate that. Then comes a stage wherein it was essential for me to go beyond imagination, which was meant to emulate her style in my own way. You can.
所以跟老师学习有几个阶段，第一个阶段是单纯的模仿，老师唱什么你就原模原样的唱；第二个阶段是你超越自己的想象，用你自己的风格去演唱。Yeah,
so finding one's own way, this is what is the process of riyaz. What I can say, riyaz is not to be, you know, it is not to be taught by your guru like you have to do this, you have to do this in this way. But it is more like a self-exploratory exercise.
所以我认为这个VR真正的意思不是你们老师教你去做这个去做那个，而是在这个练习的过程中发现你自己。Of
course, your guru supervises. If he can tell you that if you are going wrong, then he can always guide you and you can correct. He is there. He or she is always there to correct you. Later, it is very very important, like in Hindustani music is more improvisation. It's not like the guru teaches you a composition, but it is your job how you are presenting it in your own way. So here, evolving on different levels is very much, it comes into picture when it comes, when Hindustani music is to be discussed. Okay, evolving on emotional aspect, like to seek the expression of the melody which we are presenting.
So, 这个老师他教你的这首歌，但是你要加上自己的这种即兴去自己去发挥它，所以这个是一个很重要的部分，就是你怎么自己把这个旋律变成了自己的东西。
Yeah, so here is it's very much risky stage, you know, when you are asked to think on your own way. But it is also a very interesting way because you get an opportunity to think about your guru and to think about how you can express your guru's training.
当然在自己练习的过程中，你的老师会纠正你，如果哪些方向做的不对，但是。 最重要的是还是你怎么去理解你的老师和怎么理解你老师教你的内容。
It is very, very important in the learning process that a disciple is, you know, is learning from his or her guru for at least 10 to 12 years. And I was very, very fortunate to have got, to have received that training. You have to be under your guru's training for at least 10 to 12 years.
要真正从老师的就是获得他所教你的真谛，需要10到20年。但是我很有幸的确拥有这个经历。
So I have had a very strong foundational training, and now I would like to present my guru's composition, Indra's Mira Mantar.
下面这首就是我老师的作品，跟他有很深的渊源。
Adha Kintan。180 would be
fast for Radha Tinta.
Okay, so 160. So this basic composition is like, the meaning of the composition is your a disciple's dedication towards his or her own guru. Okay? A disciple's dedication towards his guru is the theme of the composition.
这个作品的主题就是向老师的老师致敬。
So in this second part of the program, we are going to look more closely at the different features of the three gharanas that are represented here. So the Kirana gharana, the Agra gharana, and the Jaipur gharana. Note that these are place names in India. These are towns in northern India. I think Dalji already mentioned that. What happened was that when the patronage of the king disappeared, when you know we had the whole period of British colonialism in India in the 19th century, many of these musicians and performers who had lost their patronage started looking for new kinds of patrons and new markets. So the recording industry started up in India in the early 20th century, the radio started up, and through these modes of technology, through the gramophone record and the radio, new kinds of marketplaces opened up for the musicians. So they had to adapt themselves to those new kinds of patronage. In doing so, they of course began to teach outside the family, as already been mentioned. And in order to maintain the distinctiveness of their style of singing, they would say, this is our gharana, and trace it back to the town they originally came from, although there may be no one in that town living there who actually belonged to that side of singing. Would you like to translate that?
所以我知道大家都很享受就是音乐，所以在节目的下一部分，我们可以通过音乐来很快速的展示一些我们刚才讲到的事情。那在20世纪的早期，像我们刚才说的，因为一些政治和其他种种原因，导致很多音乐家失去了他们原有的这个位置，所以他们就去寻找新的市场。那么这个时候，新的市场有两部分。 一部分就是像非遗录音等等这些现代技术的出现，另一部分他们就是到了其他的去到加州以外去教书，所以我们可以看到，现在很多的传统，它尽管仍然以那个城镇的名字命名，但是，可能那个城镇已经没有人住了，但是我们现在还是可以听到来自那个城镇的那个传统。
So now the three singers will demonstrate, actually together, the different styles of singing represented by their schools of music. So they will show you how they present a composition. So more than that I will not say. I don't think you need to translate this. I think let them just start singing.
I will start. We will all start with singing the Raag Bhupali. And I belong to the Agra tradition. I will present the composition the way we do it. Omkar belongs to the Kirana Gharana. He will present the same verse, singing one after another, like showing you the highlights of his way of looking at it. And similarly, Rutuja will show you the highlights of her singing style. So we hope that by the time this is over, you will get a small glimpse of how, even though music is the same, there are so many ways of looking at it.
Different
approaches.
And,
In the oldest existing classical style of northern Indian form is called Dhrupad Dhamar, where they do elaboration of the melody in what is called Lok Tom Ala. There are no words, it uses syllables. And we have maintained that aspect of the gharana, so of that style. So I will do the Lok Tom Ala. This is a pentatonic rag.
only give you a small glimpse of the fourth thing, because otherwise it will take too much time.
Thank you.